As part of our 30-year anniversary of piano jazz, we are remembering some of our guests from the early years. Today we're celebrating the life and music of Dave McKenna, a guest who first appeared on piano jazz in 1979. I'm also asking some of my musical friends to assist me in this endeavor, and who better to help me pay tribute to Dave McKenna than pianist and singer Daryl Sherman, who was a friend of Dave's and a fellow Rhode Islander. It's all yours, Daryl.
Every state has something its Rotary Club can boast of. Some product that the state produces the most of. Rhode Island is little, but oh my, it has a product anyone would buy. We New Englanders, especially those of us from Little Rhody, seem to have a special bond. No matter where else we settle, somehow we manage to stick together. We find each other, and we sure cheer our hometown heroes, whether it's the Patriots, the Red Sox, Claiborne Pell, or indeed Dave McKenna. Critics, fans, and all the best musicians revere him as a world-class piano stylist of the highest order. But when Dave toured in the 50s with Krupa, Art Tatum would come to hear him and tell everybody he's the future of jazz piano. I think Dave McKenna is the history of jazz piano, and he's an original. Definitely a one-of-a-kind guy, as you'll hear, both musically and from his persona. It's so hard to speak of him in the past tense. We recently lost him, but lucky for us, there is a treasure trove of recordings on a variety of labels like Concord. And no small thanks to Marion McPartland. There are two really, really great piano jazz programs. Both Dave and Marion have long been heroes of mine, but I really didn't think that this guy from a mill town called Woonsocket, which is my birthplace as well, and a girl from Windsor, England, would have so much to talk about, especially since McKenna is known to be a man of few words.
I remember you're from Rhode Island, aren't you? Where?
Woonsocket, Rhode Island, Marion.
Oh, I love that. I love that name. Wasn't there a song called...
Buckle Down Woonsocket, but that's spelled W-I-N-S-O-C-K-I, and my town is W-O-O-N-S-O-C-K-E-T.
See, what an ignorant Brit I am. I didn't even know that. I thought it was all the same thing. But anyway, now, where did you start to play? Were you just sort of an instant player at the piano by ear, or did your mother play, or what?
Oh, yeah, my mother was a fine musician. She played classical violin, and she played nice piano. She read, sight read beautifully, which I never learned to do. And she studied from a member of the symphony. She's from Boston. But on the piano, her technique wasn't as good as it was on the violin, but on the piano, she loved to play the tunes of the day. And I used to hear her playing like Smoke Gets in Your Eyes and Stormy Weather. And she played with excellent taste. She had a nice touch, and she played nice chords. She wouldn't play, I wouldn't call Mama a jazz player because she didn't play, she didn't improvise much. But she put in little things here and there. She had, like I say, she played those tunes so well. But I think that the first thing I heard was little jingles on the radio. I mean, the radio band. And I went to the piano and picked it out, you know, so. And then I started playing the tunes I heard her play. And she said I played them pretty accurately, right.
How old were you then?
I don't know, 6 or 7. And then she sent me, I went to a Catholic school, and she didn't think she was a good teacher, so she sent me to the nuns. And the nuns were nice old ladies, but I hated those lessons, and I hated trying to play scales, and I hated those kids' pieces, and I hated piano lessons.
Well, I don't know. There's so many. I'm just sort of thinking of all these things. We were talking about your early days in Woonsocket, and you never mentioned your dad. What did... I mean, I'm probably being curious, but
he was a postman.
Was he really?
He played the drums, and he played good military snare drums. He played in the marching bands in Woonsocket, and toward the end there, there was only one of that type of band that played concerts and the band shells and they marched and parades. And it was the Sons of Italy band. So he was a snare drummer in that band. And he could roll with a knife and fork on the table. I mean, he was good at what he did. And he liked Sousa marches, of course. And, you know, I used to sort of make fun of them, not to his face, of course, but the old man was still the boss. But I hear a Sousa march now, and the way they're put together, they're very good, very musical. Right.
Et cetera, et cetera.
Yep.
Well, I know it's not really the same thing, but because you have such a wonderful sense of time, I mean, maybe that sort of instilled in you that great time feeling. Not that it's like swinging. I mean, he probably didn't swing.
Well, those men, in their own way, they do, yeah.
No, but I mean, it must have affected you. Did you ever want to pick up a pair of sticks and pound away, or did you do that?
Yeah, well, I didn't really want to, but the little grammar school band, the drummer got in trouble, and they knew about my father being a drummer, and said, well, you can play the drums. My father tried to give me a couple of quick lessons. I couldn't roll or do anything. I was the most miserable drummer. But it got me out of whatever class it was, and it got me out of the schoolroom for a little bit, and I just banged away at maybe I could have got to like it, but I was never a drummer.
I get the feeling you were not terribly thrilled about being in school.
No, I did okay in the grammar. Then I went to a public high school, and the only subject I was pretty good in was English. In math, I was so miserably inept. And in those days, that's when I really started getting into music. And I didn't have a record player. I'd dash home, turn on the radio, and try to get Benny Goodman or Count Basie. And those days, a lot, they had bands, 15 minutes featuring bands, recorded music. And when Guy Lombardo or Blue Baron or Sammy Kaye had come on, I'd switch the dial and I'd keep trying to find things I like, you know.
Ah, that's how I learned, too, was, you know, hearing stuff on the BBC. And they played all the American singers, and they had something with Dinah Shore called the Society of Lower Basin Street.
I think Zero Mostello was a comic on that show.
You're kidding.
I think so. I heard that one.
Well, I heard that in England. So I guess we had sort of a similar way of learning music, because I actually took violin lessons. I didn't like that at all. I just...
Yeah, but you went on. You can not only play the tunes, but you've actually played with symphonies and everything. So yeah.
Well, I don't want to get into stuff like that, because I keep thinking what fun it's going to be when you and I play a duet, which we should do any minute.
Shouldn't we have at it then?
Let's have at it. And this is a really good tune by Billy Joel, and it's an old one, but I think it really lends itself to the way we play, Dave.
One thing I notice about Dave McKenna and Marian McPartland is the paint never dries. They are such champions of American popular song, and they do jazz classics. But in just about every concert, every set that I've heard for either of them, they'll always manage to find some more current pop tune and find their way with this song. And wait till you hear what comes next. This is one of the hottest duos I've ever heard. All 9 choruses, trading 4s, 8s, with a little Mozart, Bach, striding, romping, and sounding even a little bit like an old married couple.
I suggest that we
play another fast tune because it's a challenge for me to keep up with you. So how about Avalon?
Of course, man. Whatever, babe.
What key, dear?
Whatever you want, huh?
E flat?
You start.
Darling? Okay, love.
Song couldn't have a better friend than Dave McKenna. But for that matter, McKenna couldn't have a better friend than Marion McPartland. One night, she mentioned to me she'd gone in to hear him at Michael's Pub in New York. Now, his longtime Boston buddy, Dick Johnson, was sitting in on flute and alto that night. Marion had never seen him before, and Marion decided on the spot to record them for her new Halcyon label. It's called Cookin' at Michael's Pub. Dave has this thing. He really loves to string songs together with a theme. And for this recording, the theme was dancing. And this great Cole Porter song that you're about to hear was on the album. And Marion loved it so much, she asked him to do it again, as you'll hear.
This next tune is something that's on the record that you made for Halcyon. The night before, we went to hear Bobby Short, and he did the song. And then at the date, while they were setting up, you fooled around with the song, and you got it together, and it's one of the prettiest things I've ever heard you do, Dream Dancing. Right.
To hear the full Piano Jazz broadcast, tune in next week to your NPR station. Log on to pianojazz.npr.org to find a station in your area. Piano Jazz is a production of South Carolina ETV and radio. Support for Piano Jazz comes from Save America's Treasures, a partnership between the National Endowment for the Arts and the National Parks Service, Department of the Interior, the Friends of Piano Jazz, and NPR.